This episode of the Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by Sales Leadership United. Since 2019, Sales Leadership United has grown to become the largest collection of sales leadership assets in the world. Check out salesleadershipunited.com and tap into tools used by elite sales leaders worldwide. Accelerate your leadership development. Solve modern sales challenges. Use fully prepped sales meetings in your next team meeting. Thousands of hours of sales leadership materials indexed and searchable with a single click. Create your own personal sales leadership library. Head to salesleadershipunited.com and use the code ROB at signup to get a free trial on me. Hi, I'm Rob Jepson, and my mission is to help sales leaders everywhere create record-setting growth from the companies they lead. I'm here to share the secrets of the world's most successful sales leaders. I don't care how big the company or how big the team, we showcase sales leaders who are taking what the market gives and then some. This show features leaders of teams who are beating their markets, winning at crazy rates, and creating life-changing years for the people they lead. The Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by Sales Leadership United, the world's largest collection of sales leadership assets. Be sure to check out the all-new salesleadershipunited.com. Fast-track your sales leadership development, gain insights into how other sales leaders are solving challenges similar to the ones you face, and tap into over 400 leadership topics, hundreds of video insights, battle-tested leadership frameworks, and new material that comes out every single week. Sales Leadership United is the easiest investment in yourself you'll ever make. Head to salesleadershipunited.com, use the code ROB at signup, and get a free trial on me. Now, get ready for some serious insights from sales leaders who are making it happen. And remember, don't worry, we got you. Hello and welcome to the Sales Leadership Podcast, where high growth sales leaders share high growth practices and tactics. I am so glad to hear from so many of you on how helpful this last couple months of guests have been for you. Man, I appreciate it. So grateful for your support of our show. Thank you for all the DMs that are just continuing to come through. I love it when you share how the show is helping you on your career. So don't slow down. Keep them coming. When you have someone you like, let me know. If there's someone that I need to have on, let me know. And today, I'm bringing someone back that you have told me over and over again you want more of. I'm bringing back a show favorite, someone who I had on for round three in 2023, and he was the first at the time to dive into AI for sales with me. So if you've been watching us for long, this guy needs no introduction. He's been blazing trails for sales for a long time now, and when he told me he has some new insights he wanted to share, you can best believe I got him on just as fast as I could. Person I'm talking about? Jake Dunlap, founder and CEO of Scaled. If you're a longtime listener, you already know why he's joined me so many times in the five-year history of the show. And if you're one of our newer listeners, you're going to really dig this guest today. Either way, this is a conversation I'm really excited for. And by the end of this conversation, if you're not connected with him, you need to be, okay? Now listen, I've written three introductions from Jake. I'll put the links to all three shows in the show notes so you can go listen to them. So I got to keep this one short. I'm just going to say this, what I've already said. If you're not connected with him, if you're not following him, make sure you're doing it by the end of the show, because Jake helps sales orgs of all shapes and sizes, the mature market leaders, the innovative startups, and everything in between. And then he's done it all. He's been the top sales guy, but he's also been the leader who got companies to places they only dreamed of. He's won every one of the awards, spoken at all of the events, and maybe what I'm most proud of, only the second guy to be on the show four times. Today's conversation, it's going to be a good one. You're going to really want to dive in. I want to get after it as fast as we can and maximize our time with Jake. So Jake, my guy, welcome back to the Sales Leadership Podcast and thanks for joining me.
I love that, man. I'm just going to literally just play that like every morning when I wake up, just get me like pumped up for the day.
Oh, dude, I love it when I meet guys like you that live up to that kind of hype, though. Like, you've done it. I remember watching when you first started Scaled years ago. I remember watching that. And what you guys have done is incredible. And every time you've been on, my listeners thank me for it. So I'm pumped you reached out to me this time saying, Rob, I got some new insights I want to share. So
awesome. I'm pumped.
So why don't you start by just introducing yourself? We got a lot of new, like our show grows every week. We got more than when you were on last time. Introduce yourself and maybe just update us on what's happening with Scaled right now.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, again, thanks for having me on. Yeah, fourth time. Wow, that's awesome. And with Larry Long is the other
Larry coach. Long Jr. Yeah,
I talk about a positive guy. That guy, gosh, I don't think he's ever had a bad day. True. So yeah, great. Quick highlight on me. CEO of Scaled Consulting, about 30 plus people all over the U.S. Some folks overseas. We do a mix of revenue operations, process consulting work. Really, what sets us apart is our team is really one of the only companies that can say they've built hundreds and hundreds of sales playbooks and done hundreds and hundreds of, you know, technology overhauls. And, you know, we really were kind of early to the game of like really understanding the importance that technology would have on, you know, modern sales process. So, you know, we help companies of all different sizes, usually it's their kind of that very specific points of scaling and, you know, just need that extra firepower and expertise to come in and like get stuff done. You know, they don't need more advice. They don't need, you know, a jack of all trades. They need, you know, experts who can come in and get things done quickly. So, prior to that, I was a multiple time VP of sales. I was a VP of sales at Glassdoor, scaled yep. that from zero to a million in MRR in about just a little over a year, as a VP of sales, at, startup in New York, Chartbeat. And, you know, just decided, hey, man, I love building and scaling teams, hence the name. And why not just do it for myself? And so now we've worked with thousands of companies, you know, every continent you can imagine. And, you know, still just as passionate and excited about sales today as I was, you know, 20 years ago. So.
Well, and I love that. And I love, first of all, kudos and congrats on your success. And on behalf of so many sales leaders and sales orgs, thank you for what you're doing for our community. Because you used a really important word, modern. I think there's too many people that are still doing today what they were doing years ago. And I think our job is to chase competencies, not just activities. And you're really great at helping people do that. So that word modern plays into everything that we're going to talk about today. And I'm really excited about it. So let's shift into this, man. We're going to run out of time. Every time we're on the call, we've done a show, it's always like we ran out of time. I can't believe how fast the time goes. We blink and it's like, hey, how do we get hold of you? So let's start with this. You're launching a new book. Okay. You're launching a book. It's going to be a bestseller. I'm excited for you. I can't wait to get my hands on mine. It's called The Innovative Seller. You're accompanying the launch with this Innovative Seller Summit, bunch of other activities associated with it. I want to spend some time talking about this topic of the innovative seller, because that goes to that word modern. Can we start with your opinion of what it means to be an innovative seller?
Yeah. And I'll go back further. You know, it's interesting. I actually got a deal to write a different book. And as I was starting it, you know, it kind of merged into this idea of, you know, like, look, sales has not had a really good framework or anything in place since, you know, Challenger sale. And just think about Challenger sales.
Based what was on that? Data. 2012? Is that 2012 or 07
exactly.
maybe?
Yeah. Based on data from like the last collapse, like 07, 08, 09. And just think, like, no Instagram, no TikTok, no Amazon Prime, you know, cable TV, not Netflix. Like, if you just think about what's happened in our consumer, and this is really kind of what kickstarted this. If you think about the changes that have happened in our consumers and the way that we buy, you can't even really probably remember how you used to buy things. You used to go to the mall. There's all these different things, but B2B sales is still running the same play for methodologies built 20 to 30 plus years ago. And so I looked at the framework, and there's still a lot of things that are, look, getting to know your customer, to, you know, speaking their language. There's a lot of things in sales that, you know, they're not really sales. They're just like how you connect with people. So, you know, it's not that like everything has to innovate. There's just some kind of key elements that I thought it was really important to kind of put together in a very, you know, not just philosophical, you know, around what does it mean to be innovative, but also, you know, tactical. So in the book, and we'll kind of dive in, you know, I came up with this, again, because you need a good acronym. This is what I learned too, right? Everyone loves a good. So we've got the four C's, you know, which you know, is a real simple way to memorize, which is commitment to technology and AI proficiency, current go-to-market strategy, customized sales journey, and consistent performance optimization. And what I realized, again, what I started to do is just say, hey, what does it take to be successful today? What if you are a leader or a rep or building a network company, it doesn't really matter. What would you need to do, right? And that's where it's like, well, you got to understand technology. The sales leaders, I got to tell you, right? If you're listening right now, you have outsourced your knowledge of technology too long. You let somebody else do the learning for you around, and that's why the tech stack, you know, people complain that they're not getting the, you know, the advantage out of it and all of this. It is a sales leader's job to understand. You don't need to be certified in everything, but what technology is capable of. And I thought it was really important point to make in the book to say, look, you're a leader and if you're a rep, and you're using a tool every day, why wouldn't you get certified in it? Like just the effectiveness and efficiency gains you can get, you know, from being a part, you know, deep on the tech, was a really important one to add. And then, you know, current go-to-market is just about how we need to rethink outbound, customized sales journey. And we'll sure we'll get into each one of these. It's really just this idea of like, sales is not linear. Like there's no such thing. And I'm sorry, my medic fans out there, there is no such thing as a decision maker. It doesn't, in today's buying climate, there are teams of people that make decisions where the lowest person on the totem pole can easily be the anti-decision maker just as much as the highest person. And we've moved to this world of like team-based buying, and it's important that we have new processes to deal with some of these. So I'll get into the rest of it. That's a very long answer to a short question, but obviously it's something I'm excited about.
Well, I can't wait. I should have had a shorter introduction to you because I know we're going to run out of time. Those four C's, that's it. I can't wait to get into those because you're right. I was looking over. It's funny that you bring this up. I have a framework on what I call the good day framework. As I work with leaders, like how do you, instead of saying how I get 10% more sales, what if you got 10% more good days? What would that do for you if you had more good days? And it's funny how it compounds. And I was looking at the framework I used for what a good day was when I was a rep back in the early 2000s. And I was laughing at the terminology because I was using the term decision maker. And in the training I was doing with a company you would know, I was like, I hope you're not using that term anymore. And one of them raised their hands like, we totally use that term. I'm like, yeah, we need to address that. Yeah, we need to address that because you're right. Everything's changed. In fact, I wonder if anything's the same other than we got to find what they care about. I mean, that probably is universal. But
Business acumen has never been more in vogue than it is now. I think business acumen is probably the easiest thing. And ChatGPT is also very helpful in helping people to get up to speed quickly on other people's businesses. But business acumen, you know, consultative questioning, things like that. I think all those are still very much applicable, you know, to great sales.
So let's dive in, man. So I love this idea of being the innovator, the innovative seller. And I hope we have 50,000 sales leaders that are doing what I'm. If you look at the video we put in Sales Leadership United, I'm sitting back going, what does it mean to be an innovative seller? Okay, so you've given us a good definition. We got 50,000 leaders that are going to be listening to this and hopefully reaching out to you.
Yeah.
How do we have innovative sales leaders who then create innovative sales teams? Is that a fair way to start this conversation?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And hopefully, I mean, the sellers too, right? Like, I mean, if you're a sales leader, you're probably a seller at heart. You know, it should be applicable to CEOs as well. You're scaling your business. You know, it's all about, you know, what does a modern go-to-market need to look like? And so I'll boil it down to a few things.
Let's go.
The first is understand that, again, today, buyers, and we've been using these stats, Rob, for a long time. The buyer comes in and they're X percent of the way through the process. Well,
yeah,
you know, one of the core pieces we talk about in the book, but it's, again, like you don't need to, you know, definitely go buy the book. But hopefully this is also some common sense. It's like, look, cannot treat every buyer like they came in at the same spot. Like you have to have, we call it, again, good analogy, VEX. Like, what do we do with vetted buyers? What if I sent an email before every meeting and I said, hey, you know, I usually understand people are either here, here, here. Where are you in your journey? Great. And on that first call for the vetted buyer who's already, you know, hit up Rob because he heard a recommendation, talked to somebody in his Slack community, and they've already got pricing from your competitor. And now they're coming to meeting one and they're getting qualified. Like, dude, you know, like if you ask anybody who has bought B2B software or really almost anything, their last sales experience, it is cringeworthy of just how bad they say. They're like, oh my God, it was not pleasant. And it's because of this, like, you know, there's people come in vetted, right? I've done all this work. Then some people come in educated. I've done some work. Some people come in cold. And then the S is self-service. My friends, like McKinsey put out some, like a study, like people are ready to start self-servicing at like 40K, 50K. In the next few years, like 100K, 200K. You know, they used to say that, oh, nobody would buy enterprise sales virtually. Nobody would spend $500,000 or $1 million without meeting someone. Oh, COVID happened. What happened? They'd started doing it. And so we just have to adapt our process. And it's not, you don't need 8,000 different sales processes, but we do have to start to meet buyers where they're at in their journey. And that starts with, again, us having a new set of tools around, you know, can I watch a demo online for that the person who just wants a self-service? Dude, I just want to buy it. Get me onboarded. Let's go. Like, I don't want to do this sales back and forth thing. Right. And different people want different things. I think it's like 44% of millennials would prefer a salesperson less interaction.
Yeah.
Right. So like people, but some people want to talk to people. So that's fine. The point is, like, we have to adapt our process the same way on consumers. I've got a million different ways to buy, consume things that I want. I've got a lot of options. There needs to be more than one sales path.
Well, I really like what you said, though. I want to sit in that for a second. I want to, like we always do, bro. That's why people like it when we get on calls like this together, is I want to dive into that for a second. So understand that they're all at different spots. Any advice to, again, we got 50,000 leaders on here that are leading who knows how many salespeople. I should figure that out sometime. How many salespeople are being led by the listeners of this? I love what you call like the vets. How do you vet them? Any tips you might give on how you might establish like ways that you can meet people where you are? Because meeting people where you are is a great phrase, but that's easy to say, harder to do, I would think, yeah. Right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'll let you be the judge. How about this? I'll tell you, and then you be the judge.
Great.
And the same thing for everybody listening. They can be the judge. The very first thing that you could do, and I'm going to give you a couple different very tactical things. Number one is everybody should have multiple demos of their product online. You need to have a version that is built for end users if people want to do that. You need to have a short one that's built for decision maker groups that are going to care more about. We call it, there's two teams. There's a usage team that needs to get sold, and there's an impact and ROI team that needs to get sold. And both those things need to happen for a deal to happen. Sometimes there's a lot of overlap between the two. But you need to have different demos to where if I want to go and consume information about the product, et cetera, I can do that. So that's like kind of develop a suite of things that people can view ahead of time. No, it won't cannibalize. It's just like the old, like, don't talk about pricing too. Like, I'm a big fan of like, you know, have pricing up there, have a self-service option. Again, that might be too far for a lot of you, but that would be one thing, very tactical. Do I have a way for people to get further educated by me? They're already getting educated. They're getting educated through groups that you're not a part of, through G2 or whatever, you know, like they're getting educated, right? It's just, is your site going to be something that kind of helps them with that journey as well too? The second one is even more tactical, which is what would happen if, before every meeting, you guys had a template, you had a templated email, and we have an example of this. When you do buy the book, you get access to the Innovative Seller Community, and it's in the resources section. But what if you sent an email that said, hey, Rob, look forward to our call on Wednesday. Typically, on the first conversation, some people I talk to have already done their homework, you know, working on with a competitor, you know, whatever you feel comfortable saying, et cetera. Others are like very early in their journey and just looking to learn a little bit more. Help me to understand where you are in that spectrum so I can have the right meeting prepared for you. Every buyer would be like, thank God. Like, God, yeah. I have to like jump through hoops. So just sending an email. So guess what? Maybe on that first call, I need to have, you know, look, hey, Jake, glad you asked, because I'm actually using your competitor right now. I got pricing from you guys 3 years ago. Da 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 da. And by the way, these are all very real scenarios.
Yeah.
So that first call, I've got, you know, the customer success person on the call. I've got, you know, I can rally the troops. I can have two or three people ready on that first call. So that's what I would, you know, that's how what I would think about.
They're both awesome. The multiple versions that are recorded, I like, but I love the second one. You told me to give you feedback. I love the second one. And that's not just for a tech conversation. Anybody that's going to have a sales call, to have that pre-call of like, I want to meet you where you're, like, it could be as easy as, what do you want to accomplish? Yeah, who doesn't want that?
Like, every buyer is begging for this. Like, every buyer is like, you know, it's so funny. I think sales.
And I can hear the naysayers. Oh, it's going to give them a chance to opt out of the meeting. Okay, well, better now than later.
They weren't that interested in the first place.
Exactly.
Like, if they booked a meeting with you and opted out, like, it's the same thing as like pricing. Like, look, yeah. I mean, I want you guys you just have to look. The world has evolved. We as humans now, we expect 100% transparency, right? Before, like, just again, you probably, a lot of people don't even remember what it was like to buy things 10 years ago, 15 or 20 years ago as a consumer, right? Like, there just wasn't as much access to information there. Today, there's anything that I want at the tip of my fingers. Like, I'm just used to radical transparency, and pricing's another one. Like, you should not be scared to talk about pricing. Now, look, do I recommend that you just ship a bunch of proposals over without talking somebody through it? No, that's what they want to, not if that's what they want to do. No, don't do that. But to talk about pricing, look, they're already getting quotes. They're already getting, you know, like, details from other people. You don't think that they can ask five other sales leaders? You don't think they already did ask five other leaders before they came inbound? They did. So, like, you guys have just, again, this to me is just more logic, like that fell at, like, that kind of like fell into the book where I'm like, we have got to that. Like, it's always been this way where, you know, the best product doesn't always win, and rarely does the absolute best product win. The experience that we provide, that when the human is in the loop of the sales process, is what will differentiate companies just as much, if not more, than product for years to come. And so, are you really thinking about your sales experience, right? And we talk in the book, and there's actually some resources too, for everyone, where you can kind of map this. It's like a exercise you can do as your own team, or obviously it's, you know, work that we do at Scaled where we can facilitate it. But it's not that crazy. It's like, all right, what are the three or four ways people really find us? Great. That's step one. Okay. What typically happens first? What happens if it's a user team that reaches out first? Well, I'm already going to tell you guys, because the sales process is not, there's only a finite number of journeys here. The user team reaches out, there's going to be one or two people. And then what's the next call? Oh, they're going to loop in their team, and you're going to show it to, like it's the same. And if it's the decision maker, they're going to want to loop in the user team. Like, you know, the decision-making team, the impact and ROI team. So there's just this process. You can just map this out. But I think tactically, the concept is customers are more truly at such wild variations of education that, you know, your sales team has to understand where they're at, or they're just going to be putting everyone through the same conveyor belt, and you're going to start to lose a lot more deals to the teams that are just a little bit more dynamic. Again, there's not infinite sales journeys. There's a finite number here. And so the teams that master that are going to be the ones that provide a superior experience and win, even if the product's not superior.
So here's why I love what you just said. And I didn't expect, again, our longtime listeners know that we never script these shows. I never know exactly where the conversation's going to go. But I love this. The fact that I love the innovative seller, here's why in sales we should innovate more than, like, well, I have these 20 leadership laws. Sometimes I'll send them to you. You may like them.
Yeah.
One of them is we got to chase competencies over activities. Okay. Now, innovative sellers are creating new competency. You just shared a competency on how to prepare for a call. That's what you did. You just shared a competency on how to meet people where they are, not how to just keep dialing and it's a numbers game. And if you screwed up that one, well, maybe it won't screw up with someone else. I really love this, because here's my takeaway on this, Jake, and I'll be interested in your take. The reason that the business case for being the innovative seller, if you can be just perceived as 1% better, or you can sell 1% more effectively, meet 1% more where they are, rather than just like hope they meet where you are. If you're seen as just a teeny tiny bit better, you don't get a teeny tiny bit more of the business. That small disproportionate improvement creates this large, like, you don't win by winning 1% more, by being 1% better. You get 100% of the deal. Not your competitor gets 49 and you get 51. You get 100 because you were 1% better. Is that a fair way of looking at it?
That's it. Well, that's, I mean, ironically, that's the fourth C is consistent performance optimization, which is really that mindset, which is sales tends to think that the way that you make change is big sweeping overhauls every year to 3 years. It's like, we need new sequences, and so we're going to blow everything up, even though you're pumping hundreds of thousands or millions of data points through a system. It's the sales playbook. We're going to do we're going to implement force management or whatever. I'm a new sales leader. Let's just blow this up every 3 years versus consistency, getting one, yeah. like you have the data. What's the point of all this tracking and data if we're not saying, look, hey, I can actually analyze my sales process? You know, you've got a small, medium-sized team, large team, it doesn't really matter. You're running 100 demos a month. My friends, that is a statistically relevant number that you can optimize. And yes. and that's the other kind of mindset shift that you know, I talk about, is like, we have to build in, marketing is already doing this. And it's, you know, as a sales leader, it's rare that you'll give marketing credit for anything, but
give them credit. Know, let's go.
Marketing, you know, marketing, right. The analogy I use for this is, okay, if marketing's spending $100,000 a month on Google AdWords, they're spending at least 10 to 20% of that budget to optimize it. They're rewriting copy. They're, you know, changing the segmenting. The goal is to generate what? Qualified opportunities. Okay. If I'm spending $100,000 a month on SDRs, it's like half of one person's time to look at stuff. You're not, why aren't you updating your sequences every 2 weeks? You have the data point. Why aren't you like, oh, this subject line is underperforming. Change it. This email is like, it is a science exercise, right? And I think we've got to bring more rigor into the sales organization, right? And there's a level of sophistication that I just feel like, well, it's hard too, let's be honest, right? Like what I'm saying is not necessarily like, oh yeah, I wish I could just do some workshops for everybody listening and like, wow, and like now you're fit, and like now it's perfect. But the writing is on the wall. And to me that, you know, why I wrote this book in particular is like, these are happening. They're happening all around you right now. You are seeing what's happening with outbound results. You are seeing what's happening with deals. You are seeing the complexity of that's happening with deals. The data is already there. All I did in the book is try to pull together, kind of a easier way to think about it so you can start that journey. And obviously we're, you know.
So dude, we have like just under 20 minutes. I can't believe it. Let's spin through the four C's at the very least. Let's spin through those. So take us on a drive through the four C's.
Let's do it, man. So first, again, I mentioned this commitment to technology and AI proficiency. That means you, as one of the 50,000 leaders listening, it is your job. It is one of the most critical things that you can do for your own longevity and career is to learn technology that's available and get up to speed on generative AI. You can go back. I know we'll link to the show notes if you want to hear me go off about generative AI. That's so crazy, dude. I was like, yeah, man, we did chop that up.
It was good.
In the thick of it then, still in the thick of it. These tools are not, they're not just transformative for tech, like sales tech, they're transformative for the way that we solve problems. And with that, if you're not staying up to speed on, you're just going to continue, on technology and what's happening. And yes, that does mean, you're taking a new demo or checking something out every week. You're spending 30 minutes, 45 minutes to stay proficient. These tools are changing the way that we build and optimize organizations. And so I sales leaders, a lot of them outsource their knowledge of tech to their operations team, and which is really what like a Salesforce admin or a, over promoted SDR or something. And we didn't keep learning about what these tools are capable of, and they're evolving so quick too, Rob. It's like now that tool that did one thing does six things, and now there's seven tools that all look and sound the same. So that is your job as a sales leader to stay proficient. You have to in order to build, a modern organization.
So let's sit in that for a second. We got enough time to have you bring it up, and then I want to dive just a little below the surface on each of these. Okay. So why do we not have more leaning into that? Like when you were on before, we're going to put the link to that AI conversation in here. Your best suggestion you had was schedule time to learn about AI, like just schedule time to play with it. Why do you think we have leaders that aren't doing that, being innovative with the ability available tech?
We're sales leaders, man. We like action. Like we don't like, we're like, let's go talk to people or do something. I think, I don't know if it's just sales leadership. Look, I think what happens is once you get to a certain age or level of experience, Rob, a lot of people are like, I'm here. I've arrived. Like this is the apex of my skills. And now I will get better by just doing the job. And it's really easy. There's always more to do. There's always more sales to be on, more calls to be on. Like there's always a plethora of things to do to distract you from that time. And so, that's it. I think it's a normal part of, I think, gaining more and more experience that you kind of stop the learning outside of the job as much as you probably did before. And, some people, myself included, I think are more naturally inclined to not do that. But I'm sure myself too, right?
Like, so I love systems. So like to our listeners, listen to Jake. Yeah. The first thing is commit to learning. And so I don't care how you do it. I believe that there's like seven attributes of elite leaders. And one of them is we create capacity. And one of those is capacity to learn. And one of my favorite tools for a system is have a capacity. One of my leaders that I work with, Jake, one Friday a month, half of that day is dedicated to demos from vendors. Even though he might not be looking to buy, he wants other people to teach him what's available without
yes.
them knowing. So he
exactly.
does that. He told me it changed his whole career. That one simple thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, and that again, like that's a really one. I talk in the book, I've got a framework for time management. I call it 80-15-5, which is 80% of your time should be orchestrated around things that are going to move the needle on the business in the next, you know, month to 3 months. 15% of your time is on things that might move the needle for your business in three to 12 months. And 5% of your time is on those things that take years to master, right? And so I think, you know, whatever that framework is for you, if you're not always just, you know, you're always, it's like if you don't have that mindset, you never get off the wheel. You always have, because you're never fixing things for the long to midterm, right? You're always just doing the day to day. And I could, you know, we could just talk just about that for sales leaders. My friends, if you want to get off the wheel, you want to stop having that same pressure and that, you know, everything that you're, you know, feeling at the end of every month and every quarter, start blocking time to fix the things that are causing it. You know, like it's not just going to fix itself. So
it's a system. It's a system, and systems,
system, man, just execute the system.
Dude, we're down to our last, like, let's keep going. Let's get to C2. I want you to
right,
give it to me, and then
current
we'll
go to market, man.
And
yeah,
give it to me.
Go,
second C, current go to market. Let's hear about it.
Yeah. And that just look, the one of the core principles with current go to market is just like, we have in sales created some weird phenomenon where we think scalable equals automated. And that if we can't automate it, then it's not scalable. That is beyond not true. Teslas have humans on the production line for what? For quality assurance. And my friends, like, that's why your outbound sucks, is you're trying to automate it instead of making it scalable with people. So I can use the sequencing platforms. I can use the data and insights to get better. And then the human does the QA. That is why your outbound is not working. And so current go-to-market is actually, it's interesting, because I think, Rob, you'll probably read it and say, well, yeah, Jake, that's what we did in 2000. It's like, yeah, understand someone's business, reach out with a thoughtful time when the time, you know, and hopefully the timing is right and you're doing a better job of using technology to, you know, kind of orchestrate, you know, intent data. But personalize it. Like, it's not rocket science of what it takes to be successful today. Just too many people don't want to realize that it's the things that are not automatable. Because if it was all automatable, right, like ChatGPT is pretty good at writing snippets. So, you know, that's current go-to-market.
So I love that. C1, I get it. I love it. That commitment. That's something anyone can do, is make that commitment.
Yeah.
C2, look at your current go-to-market. You're right. Our go-to-market shouldn't be set it and forget it. I think we have too many set it and forget it leaders. Have you seen that as well?
I think so. Well, that goes back to it, right? It's like, it's the 4C, which is consistent optimization. It's that we're just always on to the next. Like, it's sales, I think it's sales leadership, why it's so hard is there's so many external factors, right? And if you're in, you know, tech, you've got a board too, like, you know, you know, average tenure is what, 18 months or something like that?
Yeah.
Maybe less now. There's just a lot of external pressures to then put in place the time and the things that you need to do for the long term. That 1% better, you don't see it now, so you look for big splashes. And that, you know, the kind of current go to market and the 4C, consistent performance optimization, are definitely tied together, because at the end of the day, it's about building a scalable process based on data, but also making sure that, again, we're investing in the team that they can then do the quality assurance, that we have the processes, things like that, etc. So
yeah. I really like that. Like, I think that everyone could benefit from that. We got to make sure that we're current. Like, if we're going to be the innovative sellers, then it stands to reason we better make sure that we have a modern go to market. And as fast as things change, if your GTM is like the 2023 version, that's worth relooking at, right?
Yeah. Or even, look, if email templates that said, I also went to Arizona State worked, I would just tell you to do that. I have no vested interest in trying to overcomplicate your life. You know, like if it, and the thing is, the biggest thing that happened, Rob, just if I could just do it, I'll do a quick history lesson, then we'll move on. It's, look, back when we created the predictable revenue, when Aaron Ross wrote that book, right, which is what a lot of people use as like the Bible of how sales math works. every outbound activity, right? It's based on activities at the top, right? X activities equals meeting, blah, blah. Every activity was personalized because there was no tools. And so therefore, as you did more activities, they were more quality activities. Therefore, the math works because it's the same type of widget that's being produced when you hit the more button. Well, then we got our hands on sales engagement platforms, 2015, 16, 17. Some of these tools, and most people don't even realize this, Rob, you probably, you remember this, these tools would not let you hit send all.
No,
at first, now they do. What started to happen is then the math started to break down, like late 2010s, early 2020s, where more did not equal more activity because the activities were different, meaning like you were doing more spam, not more high quality. And therefore, the activities metrics at the top of the funnel just started completely breaking. And we have not, gone to this V2 where, again, you talked about moving away from activities. What I call like the first thing is like a meaningful conversation, which is like, look,
yeah.
if Jake's sequence is five videos and he loves being on video and Susie's is this, and then it's like, hey, can I bottle that up and share it across the team? But the job is we've got to orchestrate toward the outcomes. And that's also part of having a current go-to-market is you're orchestrated toward generating the outcomes, not just putting in place a process that can do more. Which is a big issue.
I love it. What's the third C, brother?
Third C, customized sales journey. And we talked a little bit about this with VECS, V-E-C-S, vetted, educated, cold, self-service. And then the concept too, we'll share a lot of this too, which is, everyone loves a good acronym. I don't know.
Hit me.
I know.
Hit me.
I
want it.
I love a good acronym as well too. So for me, like, again, what I did is this, is I looked at like Medic is the most popular, right? And probably a lot of you use Medic or Band or versions of it. Medic 1996.
PTC.
1996. My friends, like the internet was barely there in like 1996. So I was like, and so this is actually, it's a good call because look, I wrote the entire book without intent, which is I'll get into intent. I wrote the whole book without it. And as I was going back, this is literally like final edits. They're like, Jake, this is it before it goes to publish. And I'm like, something is missing from customized sales journey because people need also that like deal framework as well. Yeah. Like customized sales journey talks a lot about how do you map that customer journey? And I was like, wait, something's missing here. And so just like any good idea, you're in the shower or whatever. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's missing. Like a compliment or like a new version. I was like, because I started thinking about it too. I'm like, are people going to do the customized journey and then just use Medic? Like, dude, like there's got to be something. So I thought about it. I said, and could you build a framework that you would actually tell your customer? Would you ever tell your customer like, hey, I've identified you as the economic buyer and you're the champion and you're the decision maker, and like you're compelling it? No, like you wouldn't do that. So yeah. intent was born, and I'll run through it really quickly. So now we're
but can't wait to hear it. I can't wait. No,
so in the first N is next steps. And this does not sound like a crazy idea. And it's intent with just an N up front. Next steps.
I figured that out as soon as you said that. Yeah.
Well, I do like, I we're playing around with this idea of like the workshops for some of this stuff. Like there actually is an I, and it's for instincts, but it's like it's an Easter egg. Because it, in a deal, there are such things as instincts too. So next steps, why is next steps important? In today's world, there's so much competition. There's so much things competing for attention. If you're not driving momentum, it's very difficult to get deals done. So next steps, having next steps for every single process, every single meeting, that is going to help you to win. Teams, I talked about teams. Again, there's two teams that are involved in every deal. And there could be a lot of overlap if it's a small company, or it could be no overlap. There's a usage team, a team that has to be sold that this product solves their day-to-day challenge. And there's another team that has to be sold that this will have an impact on the business, right? Or some type of return. We have to move the teams through the process, and different teams might be at different steps. And so we have to equate for that. E is education. I talked about, where are they in the education? Oh, actually, our end user team is here on the education because we've had three calls. But guess what? Their impact team, the ROI, we're just having our first call. So we actually need to do the things that we would do early in the sales process. We take two or three steps back. So education, how am I meeting people there? The next N, This one, I think, is just going to like punch. I mean, this one punched me in the face when I like,
let's go.
When I said it, it was, I was like, okay, well, needs and pains and all this stuff is like, it is important for sure. But I'm like, how many times in every sales leader, how many times if I played a sales call for 10 different reps and said, does this person have a need or not? I'd probably get 6 different opinions. Well, kind of, maybe. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I got, yeah, they're so sold. Like, so I was like, needs, like, it's not concrete enough. So the second in is numerical priority. If you are not a numerical priority, a top 3 minimum to top 5, possibly, the deal's not happening. There's too much competition. So, and it's a very simple question. Where, from a numerical priority standpoint, does ABC fit in your next 2 quarters? That's it. So forget need, forget pain. What numerical priority is this for that business? And if you do that, you're so much further ahead. And now you got to ask the right questions to dig in. Why is that a priority? But instead of needs, think numerical priority. And last, the final T is time to impact. Your customer does not care about the signed contract. They care about power usage. And I purposely in the book, I take the sales, customized sales journey, and like break it down all the way through power usage and renewal, right? From sale to onboarding to initial usage to power usage. The goal of a company is to create power users. That's your goal, not create signed contracts. It's create power users, right? And whatever your product is, I don't care. You don't have to be a software. You can be whatever it is. So intent, next steps, teams, education, numerical priority, time to impact. It's just a really modern, easy way to make sure you're doing the best that you can to move a deal and work with a customer to move forward. So that's
my favorite one, is journey. The priority ones. I love them all. Intent is awesome. In fact, I want to get some of this stuff in Sales Leadership United. We got 1600 sales and leaders in there that we could do a little more than this. We should do that. I've been saying for a long time, it's not enough to have a problem. It's got to be a priority. So I love this. And I think you are barking up the right tree, dude. You are barking up the right tree, because too many problems are really just nuisances. And there's a big difference between a nuisance and a priority. So,
and the other thing is, think about the different teams. It might be a numerical priority 3 to the usage team, but when you, to the other team, it's a 7. And my,
it's not even like, the top 5. Yeah, it's not in the top
again,
5.
Like, this is why like singular so people good. Just aren't involved, and you got to deals are just more complex, even smaller deals. So,
all right, we only got a couple minutes.
Consistent performance optimization. And we've talked about it. It's just having these micro things set up to analyze the data and start to make small changes. The one thing I'll call out that I do talk about in this chapter specifically is the idea of moonshots, though, where you should be having a process in place to make consistent optimization. And we have to allow salespeople to take shots. We have to say, look, these are the best practices. We are optimizing these best practices in terms of what's working to generate meetings, what's working to close deals, work with customers, blah, blah, blah. Your team, you should be giving your team 5% at least of their time to take shots. Hey, wow. Go ahead, try something weird. Break the system. Yo, you just want to execute the system? Fine. But I use the trivia game analogy. If you ever went to a bar and played trivia, the team of 10 people always beats the smart team of 3 people, because different people. And so if you're in a room making all these changes, but you're not incorporating the people that, you know, there's tens or hundreds, like, you're missing out on innovation in your organization by not harnessing, you know, they're getting data from the field on a consistent basis too. So that's it, man. That's the book.
Dude, those are so good. I feel like we've done a great job introducing it. So now I hope you've got a whole bunch of people that want to buy the
book. Please.
They want to attend your summit, because I'm going to guess you're going to get into more details in your summit. So let's do that. We've got a little bit of time. So how do they get more of you? How do they get the book? Other than, I will tell everybody, I'm going to put the link to how to buy the book in the show notes.
In there. Yeah.
Like, how do they get to participate with the launch of this awesome set of new ways of thinking?
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. And yeah, thank you everyone for hopefully you click purchase and go buy the book. The best way is going to be like the Innovative Seller community. So when you buy a copy of the book, you get free access for the year. Yeah. We've got resource links in there from like some of the content that I talked about. So, you can just, it's free, and you can just go in there. You pay $32 for the book or whatever it is, and you can just get access to it. And then the summit, we've got a masterclass in there that I did with Morgan Ingram. The summit, if you're listening to this later, the recording is in there. We've got sales and RevOps leaders from OpenAI, LinkedIn, SEMrush, You know, my buddies like Kevin Dorsey, Morgan, other folks too, just talking about how they have incorporated parts of the four C's without it being labeled that. And again, getting very tactical in terms of, hey, these are the things that they're doing to be an innovative, you know, leader that they did in their organization. And we've got sellers talking about, you know, what they're doing to be innovative as well. So you get all that just for buying the book. So you get access to the summit, the master's class, resources, the book, and the community. So just click the link that's in there and come DM me there, or obviously you can follow me on LinkedIn, you know, obviously sharing content there every day too. So, it's exciting, man. I'm pumped.
We're going to do everything we can to make sure we help spread the word and get people to that summit. I think everybody who listens to this show and every member of Sales Leadership United, we'd be better off if they participated in your summit. So I'll endorse it now. We'll do things to push it. I'll push it in the front of the line to make sure we get that, so it's before the launch. I can't believe we're out of time, dude. It's like top of the hour.
Every time, man.
So fast. Hey, on behalf of 50,000 listeners now, it's been fun for you to be on here 4 times in 5 years, and you've seen how the community we've built here has grown.
Wild, man. Congratulations.
Thank you, though. Like, the work you do matters, and I hope we have a lot of people that choose to follow you and reach out to you. And like I said, I do book reviews in Sales Leadership United every now and then. I'll for sure do one on Innovative Seller, and I hope everybody gets their hands on it. Listen, his name is Jake Dunlap. If you don't follow him, you need to if you're a leader of sales teams. He will help you see things a little differently. He will help share things that are working. He is this person with an abundant mentality that has perspective that most of us don't have. When he says he's worked in virtually every continent with thousands of leaders, he's not exaggerating. It's facts, as my teenage son would say. It's facts. And so I hope that you connect with him. I hope that you reach out to him. I hope you at least get a hold of the book. But above all, make sure you commit to having an innovative sales team. Because if you don't make that commitment, what works today very likely can be this status quo gravity pull that will keep you from growing and get you passed up. So do that. Jake, thanks so much for joining me. Thanks so much for sharing your insights. I wish you nothing but wild success with the launch here. And on behalf of 50,000 people worldwide, thank you. I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another So What portion of the Sales Leadership Podcast, where we break down that interview and we ask ourselves, why did that conversation even matter? But first, this episode is brought to you by Sales Leadership United. Sales Leadership United has had so much growth, and I'm so grateful to each of you who have chosen to check it out. The purpose of Sales Leadership United is really simple. I want to give you access to the largest collection of sales leadership assets in the world. Yes, in the world. Listen, I coach over 100 sales leaders, and these are people that are in big companies and also new companies, and they're in every industry that matters. We're talking about people that are new to leadership or new to their company, but there are also people that are very tenured in their organization and some of the most seasoned sales leaders in the world. And every single one of them, they want more tools. They want more insights. They want more perspective. Perspective is so hard to come by in the sales leadership world. They ask me questions like, how do you create systems? How do you create foundations? How do you create change? How do you coach? How do you lead up, manage up? How do you connect to a totally different generation? But the number one question I get, what are other leaders like me doing to solve problems like the ones I'm facing right now? And that's why you need to check out Sales Leadership United. All the tools, all the training, all the techniques. Perspective that comes from the benefit of thousands of hours with other leaders from all around the world. Listen, if you haven't checked out Sales Leadership United, head to salesleadershipunited.com and use the code ROB to get a free trial on me. And then let me know what you think. I can't wait to hear from you. I hope you loved this conversation with Jake. I love Jake Dunlap. I love the work that he does. I love the presence that he has. I love the insights that he shares. And I hope you feel the same way, because there's a reason I've had him back 4 times. I hope each of you took a note of the 4 C's of being an innovative seller. I hope you wrote those down, okay? And I hope that you really have some new thoughts churning around in your head about what it means to be developing a more innovative sales team, because Jake's right. Too many sales leaders get complacent when they become a sales leader. And the very best leaders, they look for ways to make how they lead become a competitive advantage. So now's a really good time to ask yourself, am I being intentional about how I innovate? Am I being intentional about chasing competencies and not just activities? It's one of the important 20 leadership choices every single elite leader has to make. I choose new competencies over just more activities. And I think Jake's 4 C's are an awesome set of lenses to look through as a leader. I especially like his new framework, intent, minus the very first I, N-T-E-N-T. Number one, first N, next steps. Number two, teams. There's two kinds, the usage team and the impact team. Number three, education. We definitely need to be in the education business. Number four, numerical priority, which I love. And five, time to impact. How do we create power users, not just buyers? And for me, learning to connect priorities, how you connect to people's priorities, that's one of those things that elite leaders do that the average ones just don't understand. Because having a problem is not enough. As Jay-Z taught us, the legendary poet of our time, right? Jay-Z taught us, we got 99 problems, but your pitch ain't one. Careful, you know, I said your pitch ain't one. Every buyer says it. I got 99 problems, but a pitch ain't one. And so your pitch is not as important as their prioritized problems. It's not enough to have a problem these days. You've got to connect to a problem that matters to both of the teams that Jake's talking about, the usage team and the impact team. You got to be top three at least. I'm telling you, if you can't be in that top one or two priorities, you got to work harder. And you see me sitting in this because I think it matters so much. I've got a lot of content on this in Sales Leadership United. We've talked about the prioritization concept, the priority sale on the show multiple times. And if you can connect to both teams and their priorities, you will be far more effective. And I love that this whole innovative sales journey is about connecting. The very first thing, Jake came out hot talking about connecting. And he's right. Communication is not equal to connecting. Everybody we work with is going to be in different spots. Every person you lead is in a different spot. You got to meet them where they are, and your members of your team, they got to meet the market where they are. It's not their job to find us and meet us where we are. It's our job to find them and meet them where they are. And Jake's insights, they're going to help you do that. So my advice is to innovate. Find the new competencies that will help you connect with buyers differently. Don't just look for more activities. It's not a recipe for success to just activity manage. I found in my experience, activity management is in best case, a recipe for burnout. That's if you're best case. Worst case, it'll cost you opportunities with companies and buyers that you may even alienate and sometimes permanently. So my advice is easy. Grab Jake's book, The Innovative Seller. Attend the summit, The Innovative Seller Summit. Join the community. Sounds like it's as easy as buying the book and you'll be part of the community. And then make sure you double down, triple down, quadruple down on those 4 C's. Start with just one. Make it easy. Small changes yield large disproportionate results. It might just be the first one, committing to learning. Maybe it's just that simple. But check out those 4 C's because they are for sure difference makers. Jake and his team, they'll help you innovate. They'll help you make small adjustments consistently. And if you can get into the world of consistent small changes, here's what happens. You'll learn to self-correct so you don't self-destruct. Jake, thanks for joining me. Thanks for coming back for round 4. Congrats on the success of Scaled. Congrats on the launch of your book and your community. I hope each of you uses the links in the show notes to check out the book, to participate in the summit, and to become a more innovative sales leader, and ultimately to create teams of more innovative salespeople. Because if there's one thing I hope you got from this conversation, it's simple. Don't ever stop innovating. Keep learning, keep growing, keep changing. Don't just change when you fall behind. Innovate. I loved his idea, give people 5% of time for moonshots. Shoot the moon. Don't ever stop trying to figure out how to do things better than you've done it before. And then be sure to head to Sales Leadership United for video clips of this conversation with Jake and hundreds of other sales leaders. There will be several videos from this episode that you're going to want to use as you create your own changes to the way that you lead your team to create innovative sellers. And finally, thanks to each of you, our listeners. The greatest compliment you can ever give is to share the show with those you work with. Introduce them to Sales Leadership United. Introduce them to the Sales Leadership Podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes. And like I said, you can support the show if you just check out Sales Leadership United. Head to salesleadershipunited.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. Thank you for your ongoing support of the number one sales leadership podcast in the world. Our job as sales leaders is to create life-changing years for the people you lead. If you liked this message, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. And then get after it, because life's short. There's no guarantee of what you get tomorrow. So maximize your today. Be elite, live strong, and chase your passions. Do your best work so you can live your best life. And don't ever forget, you got this and I got you. Here's to a terrific week. Thank you so much for joining the Sales Leadership Podcast, the award-winning sales leadership podcast for those sales leaders looking to create legendary impact to those they lead. The greatest compliment you can give is to share this show and any of your favorite episodes with your fellow sales leaders, social media followers, or other communities you're part of. The Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by the Jepson Performance Group. If you want to discuss any of the topics discussed on the show, want to level up your leadership impact, discuss executive coaching services, or even include me at an upcoming event, hit me up at rob@jeppg.com. That's rob@jeppg.com. And to those of you working to become a legendary sales leader, I salute you and wish you much success on your journey. Whenever you need someone in your corner, you know where to find me.